Welcome back to Crusade with me. I'm your host, Dave. This is episode 147, and today we continue our Advent journey through the Nativity Past. We'll reflect on three powerful passages of Scripture, Psalm 82, Isaiah 8, 1 Peter 4, and then we'll return to the 7th and 8th commandment explained in the great Catholical tradition by Martin Luther in the large catechism. This episode is about justice and truth, preparing our hearts to live faithfully, guarding against theft and falsehood, and walking in holiness as we await the coming of Christ. Hello, my queen. How are you?
Hello, my love. I'm good.
You're trying to do a headstand on the no. on the floor over there? What was that about?
Oh, I was trying to close the door, but I didn't want to push it really hard
because
while
you,
you were doing that because
you got the big bell on the door handle.
Yeah, but I didn't push it hard enough, so it like moved 6 inches.
Honey. We're home alone.
I know.
Why would you have to close the door?
I just, for sound, I thought it might.
Oh.
You know.
I'm not a sound engineer and I'm deaf, so I have no idea what.
Well,
that
we've
will.
Never really recorded in this room, so.
We did once. We're in the office.
Yeah.
We're in the office. And we are in our comfortable chairs. We're
we
not
are.
Sitting at the kitchen table.
I've got my feet up with my warm blankie.
Yes, you do. We are in our pajamas, but it is 4:38 a.m. on a Saturday, right?
And we've been up for a while.
And we've been up for a little while, yeah.
Oh.
Age is a splendid thing.
Oh, it is.
Actually,
and
sleep
is
a splendid thing, but it's a very narrow.
Yep. I was asleep for about 2 hours and then woke up at 11.
and I wasn't, and
you,
I was
you
not
were still up.
I was still awake at that time. Yeah.
Yep. So then we were up at 3.
Okay. I never like to highlight my age because I'm not.
You've spent a year telling us you were going to be 60.
Well, not a year. I spent 5 months, right? Mm-hmm. And then I turned 60. But that doesn't really, it doesn't bother me. I say it doesn't bother me, and I don't say that because I think I'm trying to convince myself. I'm genuinely serious. Now, my knee's been killing me lately.
Physically, it bothers.
Physically, there is some stuff going on, yeah.
I keep saying it's the weather. And
it has, well, now, we are in the northern Midwest, and when I left for work yesterday, it was -2. Outside.
It was -5. And it even dropped to -6.
On my truck, it was that it was -2. But and I know I hit the remote start and I was holding my breath. Because, you know, I've never owned a diesel vehicle before.
I didn't realize they were so complicated and needed nurturing like a baby.
Like a woman. Anyway. Did I say that?
Those were inside words that escaped to the outside.
But
yes.
I did not plug in
the
heater for the truck. And it was -2. But, you know, your dad always taught me that where I'm parking my truck in the winter is 10 degrees warmer than if I would park it further down the driveway where I used to park. You know what I'm saying?
Because it's always 10 degrees colder. But I think at this house, which he never lived at, it's actually reverse, and I'm only going to say that because of last Sunday, which church was canceled. And
because
at,
of snow.
And at first you were like, I don't understand why. But because of the wind pattern, we had about a 6 foot, five foot
snowdrift
in front of our garage door. So I'm going to say that that is actually probably reversed because of the way our house is made. It's like an L.
The L shaped. Yeah, yes, you made fun of me about. I was talking about wings on a previous episode when I was talking about the West Wing versus the East Wing.
So when you pull up our driveway, you have to make a sharp left-hand turn to pull into our garage.
Correct.
And so you've been pulling up closer, and I think...
I've been pulling up right to my... I open up the garage door, and I open my truck door, and I'm standing in the garage.
Yeah.
I'm parking that close.
Yeah. Well, in case you... When you have to plug in your...
Truck,
there's a plug-in right on the front porch. But anyways, I would say because of the wind tunnel and that 5-foot snowdrift, I would say that that might not be true about being warmer. It might be colder.
Well,
I could be wrong.
Yeah, I have no idea. I think we've made it really clear. We don't make money on this podcast.
No, you spend money on this podcast.
Hey, which, and are these?
I approved this purchase. Okay, why we're able to sit in here.
That's
in the comfy
right.
chairs.
We have these mic booms. I should have saved the box. I don't remember what they were. Anyway, yeah, they clamp on to the
bookshelf,
and then we can just swing these mics right in front of our faces.
Uh-huh.
And now we're sitting in our nice, they're not leather recliners, but they're leather something.
Like
I love these.
Chairs.
I love these chairs.
I call them Star Trek chairs. But
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. We bought these escape to go to our bedroom when mother was living here.
The Queen Mum was here.
The Queen Mum. So now they're in the office.
Can you sit back and put your hands on the arms like this and say, beam me up?
No.
Please.
Beam me up, Scotty.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I do love these chairs. But that's far afield from what we're going to be talking about today.
Yes.
But I don't know why. I feel like it was a long week, but it wasn't a long week. I started off really strong and good. Monday, I had a very, very productive day. And, and then I traveled, right? Mm-hmm. And then it seemed like when I travel, my productivity plummets.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I have to give a shout out to my neighbor. Our neighbor.
Yeah.
You had snow blowed on Sunday to go out twice.
Yes.
And of course, when the snow plows come through, they throw a bunch of snow at the end of the driveway.
I used a snowblower on the driveway the first time, and I cleared the driveway.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't use the snowblower on the end of the driveway, which a plow had already come through, and I came in, mm-hmm. took a break. I think I ate a little something. Got distracted by you, and then I didn't go back out till later in the afternoon, and a plow had come through a second time,
uh-huh.
and so I had to get not my snow scoop shovel, but a metal shovel because the snow was so heavy.
Uh-huh.
And ice packed at the end of the driveway. And I knew, I was going to be going out of town, so I wanted to be... Now, my truck could have gotten over that, but your car...
Right.
I mean, I love that Subaru. It's a nice all-wheel drive vehicle. But you don't have the same ground clearance as my truck does. So
I had
to clear you a path. So, and our driveway is really wide at the end.
Uh-huh.
We can park two cars side by side. But I only cleared one lane, for you to get out.
Right.
And I really hadn't thought much more about it after that.
Right.
And then we got some more snow on Monday,
Monday night, yep.
And I left Tuesday morning and went north for a couple of days.
Right.
And they plowed again. And But our neighbor, he came over and...
Well, I left for a doctor's appointment, and I had to gun it to... And again, underneath it is just a sheet of ice.
Yes, yeah.
And I was kind of grateful for the layer of snow because it was easier to drive on the packed snow on top of the ice than it was...
Just ice.
Just ice.
Yep.
So I gunned it, and then I hit the ice, and I'm like...
Oh.
So anyways, I went to my doctor's appointment and I came home and I thought I really need to get out there and get to work
no,
on
No, you
that.
Don't, because I thought I was going to die when I shoveled out there.
Yeah.
It was.
But in my mind, that's what I needed to do. So, but I came in and I decided I was going to take a nap instead.
Good
first.
Good for you.
So I took a nap, and then I decided that nap felt so good. I'm just going to put my pajamas on.
Call it a day.
And call it a day. I'll work on that tomorrow. Yeah. So when I got up the next morning and I looked outside, the end of the driveway had been cleared. And there's only one person. We don't really talk to many neighbors.
No.
Or many neighbors talk to us.
Well, he's our age. Well,
no, he's retired. Yeah. And he's always busy in his yard. Not this time of year, but he's always...
Right.
As my dad used to say, piddle farting around.
Correct.
He's got, but more than that, because that's when you're just running around doing.
He does stuff.
He actually has projects that
he's
working
doing
on.
Stuff. Right.
So I text her and I said, did your husband happen to shovel the end of my driveway? And she said, yes, he did. So I was very, very appreciative that he
That's
had.
Right.
But he's always looking out for us. And
he does. Yeah, he knows I travel.
He knows you travel. He definitely knows when you travel.
Yeah, he's a busybody.
He pays attention to when
my truck is here, when it's not here.
When it's not here. And they've been a little concerned about us possibly moving because of the amount of traveling that you do.
Right. Because that's always been on the...
It's always been on the back burner and possibility of us. So, yes, it's just so nice when you know that there is someone... There's a watchful eye and taking care of you.
Yes,
and that was just really special. It's a little thing.
And he brings, anytime this time of year now,
rubbing my hands together because he makes, on Christmas Eve, he brings us homemade cinnamon rolls.
They're huge.
They are hefty.
They're like the size of my hand.
And they weigh about 3 pounds.
Yes.
Or like
a piece.
Four of them. No, they're four of them in a little pie plate. And
yes,
that is a delight. So they're coming.
He retired. He was a machinist, I think a tool and die machinist. And he retired just last year. His wife is rather ill.
Mm-hmm.
Has some serious health issues.
Kidney problems, So.
So we pray for her often.
Yep.
But great people, good people.
Yep.
They got a little yippie.
It's the way the world used to be.
They got a little yippie dog, whatever that little mop thing is, bear.
Yeah. It's the way the world used to be, but isn't anymore.
I mean, we've had them over. We've never had them over for dinner.
We usually get together at Christmas time.
Yeah, but they come over, we'll have some wine or coffee and Bailey's or whatever and have desserts,
But, I've been out helping others shovel before and,
I always helped a single nurse over there.
Yes.
Now she's got her dad or somebody living with her. So,
but
I noticed she was shoveling and I didn't see him.
Yeah. He could have been at work or something. I don't think that's her dad.
Oh, okay.
Anyways.
That's probably what people say about us. Oh, look, that girl living with her dad.
I am more than capable to take care of the driveway, and I have. That's why when the snow hit last weekend, I was like, oh, yes, it's the weekend. I was so grateful to get out of that duty. But
that is my duty.
Yeah. I just want to give a... It's nice.
Yeah. We didn't call him by name, but.
Yeah.
Should we call him by name?
No.
Why?
I mean, not that anybody cares, but.
Yeah, Denny.
Denny.
My buddy Denny.
Yeah.
You know, my other buddy, Charles.
Yeah.
He vacated and left me.
Yeah, he left you. They're the ones I helped dig out.
I know. So did I. Remember, I came home and I went over and helped.
Yeah. That's the worst.
I run into Charles
when
every now and again in town.
Yeah. The worst is when they handle the driveway. It's when the plows come through and pile up that mess.
Yes, and it's
okay. I think people are done here.
Yeah, let's. I want to jump into. You know, this is I talked about in the introduction what we're going to be scripture reading and all this. So I'll just start and I'm going to read the 82nd Psalm.
Okay.
Okay. God takes his stand in his own congregation. He judges in the midst of the rulers. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Vindicate the weak and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and destitute. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods, and all of you are sons of the Most High. Nevertheless, you will die like men and fall like anyone of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for it is you who possesses all the nations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So that's Psalm 82nd Psalm. I'm sorry, I like to read out of the New American Standard Bible, so it might read a little bit differently if you're reading an ESV or an NIV or whatever feel-good Bible you... Sorry, I don't mean to be negative. But so God take his stand in his own congregation. He judges in the midst of the rulers. How long will you judge unjustly, he's asking the people. I just feel like this is so appropriate for today. It's amazing how a text written 4,000 years ago could be applicable today. But it is. And show partiality to the wicked. All of this just to say that we got to remember one thing. I know that we are in the Advent season. And we're anticipating the birth of a little baby, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, isn't that precious? Sorry. But God is the true judge. And that's what the psalmist is writing. God is the true judge. And I feel like we often lose sight of that.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Nativity fast, that disciplines us to see injustice. And then we can train ourselves to act with compassion when we see injustice. Because as I just read, we are called to defend the weak, vindicate the fatherless, and rescue the needy. Wait, Queen, do you have thoughts about this one?
I was just wondering if Denny thought he was rescuing the weak, i.e. me.
That's a great point. It's a great point.
I mean, is that not...
It fits.
We're
yes.
I don't want to use the word acts of service, but we're always looking for opportunities to serve.
Right, acts of kindness.
Yeah. But there are those.
I wish I knew somebody who made oatmeal cream pies and they would do an act of service or kindness.
Or... you could flip that around and you could purchase some from someone who's starting a business.
I will do that. Oh, you know me. I will do that. I'm going to. Hey,
there you go. There you go.
I will.
But again, you can look at it one of two ways. You can always be searching for a way to do something for someone else, or
you can,
sit around and look for a way to serve self or wait for someone to do something for you? Or why isn't
somebody doing something for me?
Well, no one ever did anything for me. So why should I do something for someone else? That we know that mentality.
We know
heard
that, well.
That mentality. Yeah. So that's just not how I'm wired. I like to go searching.
I'm all wired. It's all about me. It's all about I'm number one on my main mind. Sorry. That's a sin. Right?
Right.
And that's not what Psalm is called. Well, the Psalm here is really, in my mind, I mean, there's a lot there.
Uh-huh.
But what it's pointing to the fact that we get all wound up about this world. Mm-hmm. And, oh, man, the Supreme Court said this or the Supreme Court did that. And, you know, I don't care what side of that, whatever they judge. And guess what? There will be injustice on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, this earth was given over to the Prince of Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
There will be injustice. But the King of Kings is coming. And I'm not talking about just coming in a stable on December 25th. I'm talking about the King is going to return in glory, mounted on a pale horse. Right?
Yeah.
And he is a judge of all. He will judge the Supreme Court justices. He will judge all.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need to remember that.
And we will be judged how we judge others.
Correct. Correct.
So when someone leaves you a note in your car.
I love that. I saved that note.
About how you parked. And I can't repeat it because, you know, it's kind of naughty. We had a date night last night.
It was your idea.
Very laid back date night. We went to McDonald's, which you don't like, but, and we tried when our 11-year-old granddaughter was little, she loved the Grinch movie. So she called it the Grinchy Grinch. So we went and got the Grinchy Grinch Happy Meal with the dill pickle salt and got a pair of socks.
Yeah.
So we went there and we were there at dinner time, very busy. And the drive up line is on one side and then you have to park. Well, you have a very large truck, so you don't have a lot of room to swing left to pull into a parking spot. Mm-hmm. So you were a little over the white line. Well, when we came out, someone took the time to be enraged and leave you a little note.
Told me I parked like a female dog.
Yes. And my thought was,
I love that note. Yeah. I saved it. I thought, I'm going to keep this and use this. Now, you know, you being a former FBI agent, handwriting skills.
That's right.
You said this was definitely a woman's handwriting.
Well, absolutely.
Okay, I trust you.
I can't believe that you can't tell the difference between a man's writing and a woman's writing.
I can sometimes, but I've met some men that could write like that.
Yeah. Anyways,
And our son is not one of them. Okay?
It didn't. Well, I need a magnifying glass to read his writing. It's so tiny.
Remember when he was in, I can't remember what grade.
Second grade. He got a penmanship.
Penmanship award.
For his handwriting. Yes, he did.
What happened?
I don't know, but I still have the pen in my jewelry box. He joined the military.
The U.S. Navy. It's not like he became a doctor.
Yeah, but I don't know. That's when it got really teeny tiny. I don't know. But anyways.
Sorry.
Did not ruin our evening.
I laughed.
But we laughed, and I said, "Now, how could that? Because I've seen people park stupidly,
yes,
anytime I go out. Mm-hmm. But I have never once thought about, first of all, who carries around notebook paper? Because it was written on notebook paper, like a full piece of, not a piece of paper that you have in the bottom of your purse. Or, but I'm thinking notebook paper. But anyways, that you get that worked up that you have to pull out a piece of paper, write those words down and stick it on the windshield. It bothered someone that much that you crossed the white line.
I was just parking next to the vehicle next to me. That's all I was doing.
On your side,
no,
yes.
No, there was no vehicle on my side. Yeah. I was trying to get close to that.
Trust
one
me, when I
to
got
leave one
out,
more space.
When I got, well, okay, when I slid out, because I slide out because I'm short, but yeah. I had to shimmy out a little bit, but so
oh, see,
which
I
means
didn't realize.
She okay. had to shimmy in.
She's probably large.
Huh?
Never mind.
Anyways, we're like really off topic, except my whole point.
Can
all
I
that
re-rail
is,
this?
Can we, is don't let things work you up to the point that you, you know, feel like you have to have a comment. It ruins your day to the point where you just have to feel like.
But it kind of made mine. It kind of made my day.
And so this obviously would upset this person so much that to know that it really.
It made my day.
But.
Okay, can we rerail? Can you read Isaiah 8?
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, this is a long one, right?
Sorry. It's Isaiah 8, starting in verse 9. Going through chapter 9, verse 7. Yes.
Okay. Be broken, you peoples, and be shattered. Give ear, all you far countries. Strap on your armor and be shattered. Strap on your armor and be shattered. Take counsel together, but it will come to nothing. Speak a word, but it will not stand, for God is with us. For the Lord spoke thus to me with his strong hand upon me, and warned me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he will come a sanctuary, he will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of a stumbling to both houses of Israel, a strap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the teachings among my disciples. I will wait for the Lord, who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are signs of portents in Israel from the Lord of hosts, who dwells on Mount Zion. And when they say to you, inquire of the mediums and the necromancers who chirp and mutter, should not a people inquire of their gods? Should they inquire of the dead on behalf of the living, to the teaching and to the testimony? If they will not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn. They will pass through the land, greatly distressed and hungry. And when they are hungry, they will be enraged and will speak contemptuously against their king and their God and turn their face upwards. And they will look to the earth, but behold distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the later time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. But people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you and with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in the battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. And the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Oh.
Were you singing the...
No, I was not.
Oh, I was.
The...
And the government shall be upon his shoulders. Sorry.
No, this is the Advent reading, right? I mean, this is... And a couple things here that jump out at me, right? This points to the fact... I'm going to use this term because it's an accurate term. I'm a little leery about using it sometimes just because of... you know, in our society today, words get different meanings, or not that it gets different meanings, but in my mind, this just points to the fact that Advent is absolutely cosmic. It's cosmic.
I have a book called The Cosmic Christmas. I love it.
Yes. And it starts right here, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you've got a child born in Bethlehem. But previous to that, what was written? It was about the light for all nations. That's cosmic. You know, also in here, when you talk about the trampling of the men, the trampling underfoot and so forth and so on. So you've got Isaiah contrasting between fear of man versus the fear of the Lord. And we ought to have a significant difference in those fears. And when we say fear of the Lord, that's not a very great translation of the Hebrew word used. And if you go to the Greek translation, it's marginally better. But the Greek translation, even, I almost wish, but it also can give wrong connotation. This is fear, not like shaking and trembling and crying because you're afraid, you're scared. This is reverence. This is respect. That's what this fear of the Lord is representing or supposed to point
mm-hmm.
to.
Mm-hmm.
And there's next to none of that in this world today.
Mm.
But man, there seems to be a healthy fear of man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, man's going to destroy this earth. And maybe man will. I sometimes question and wonder. I see what the earth has done and can do. And I think that's us playing God
mm-hmm.
and think we have that power. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
And I don't want to get into this whole, you know.
Right.
About climate change. That's not what I'm talking about. But when you look at things like volcanic eruptions and those. The earth heals itself a little bit.
Right.
By design.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. So, your thoughts on Isaiah?
There's a lot there. I mean, obviously the thing that jumped out at me was the the words to the Messiah. Anybody who's ever sang the Messiah,
right,
those are words that will jump out at you. And being lovers of the Messiah.
The choral. And you were the choral. You know, when I was in choir, I got an F1. So I had excellent effort, but they failed me.
That was only because you missed a performance.
I missed the contest. It was a contest.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't about to ask my parents to drive me to Indianapolis.
Didn't they take a bus?
I'm sure they probably did. I don't know. But by the time I remembered it, we probably missed a bus and I'd have had to...
Yeah. Sometimes some things never change with you. And sometimes I wonder how you run... What you run, do what you do. You must take all your organizational skills and throw it into your job.
Franklin Covey Planners. Okay, that's my life. That's my life. I also want to jump in here about the Nativity Fast, too, right? Because what Isaiah is also talking about here is he's talking about insecurities, right? We are by nature, people are insecure. So, I fear this army or this man or this.
I have no idea what you're talking about. None.
But what Isaiah is writing here is that we need to trust in the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father. And when I've been fasting, that's a nice way to, it does help, it builds a little confidence. But man, I've made it 24 hours. To repulse some of those insecurities. Would you jump over into 1 Peter 4?
Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surpassed when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached, even to those who are dead, that they judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the Spirit the way God does. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strengths of God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you, to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. but let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. That was a little bit of one, wasn't it? I said that was a little bit of one, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Here's what jumps out at me. I'll just throw it out there real quick. So focus on a couple of lines only. But therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose. And then jump down to, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sin. Advent is not passive. It is active preparation. Peter, he calls us here to suffer faithfully, to rejoice even in trials. Even in the trial, to love fervently. That is our call to action in this Advent season. And as we go through our Nativity fast, it's truly training us for holiness. So, arming ourselves for Christ's purpose, as Peter wrote here, setting aside sin and living for the will of God. That's that purpose. My queen?
I love, obviously, the show hospitality to one another.
I know, that's written to you only, no. I feel like.
Without, and then the added cliche.
Yes.
Without grumbling.
Yes.
There's the Martha. Yeah. Because we can love to do things, and then as we're getting caught up in the
just
what we got to do,
the whole time you're doing it.
I love that. And then as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Mm-hmm. So it does no good to have been given a gift from God if you don't use it.
Yeah,
what's its purpose if we're not using it?
I'm searching for mine still. I'll figure it out before I die.
Come on. So, yeah, there's lots of good little morsels here. Except I love, it's just as a little funny. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that beer pong was in the Bible when it's the drinking parties with the, I thought it said drinking games, but maybe I read between the lines.
Yeah.
I have never officially ever played beer pong, let me just say that, but I have had them played in my house because I had
youngins.
Legally.
I had
a son and his wife who came home from the Navy, but
just when Dad died.
And they had friends, right. And so woke up that morning and had people laying everywhere. Matter of fact,
we've got that coming up here pretty quick, don't we? Today is the 6th. Tomorrow is Pearl Harbor Day, so next week will be Dad's death anniversary.
And that's why they were home.
Right.
So, I mean, why not play beer pong when your grandfather and father die and father-in-law?
I don't think I played beer pong.
Did you play?
I saw. I don't think
no,
so.
No, yeah.
That was him and his buddies from high
buddies,
school.
Buddies, yeah. Anyway, sorry. That was...
Yeah, let's jump into the seventh and eighth commandment. Mm-hmm. I think we covered this really well. So the seventh commandment is Exodus 20, 15. You shall not steal. What do you think that really means? I mean,
I think
remaining from theft, refraining from theft. Obviously, that's the easy.
Mm-hmm.
But there's more to it when you read the large catechism. You know, it talks about going in and actually protecting your neighbor's property and livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just don't take it. No, you protect your neighbor. You shovel their driveway. So he's just living out the seventh commandment.
I feel very protected by
good
our neighbors.
I know.
Yep.
Yes. You know, it's just another way of saying, and we've seen this in the other commandments, don't be dishonest.
Right.
Don't be dishonest. That's the crux of this.
Or deceitful. Or.
Yeah. Fraud in business.
Mm-hmm.
Don't exploit your workers.
Mm-hmm.
Or withhold what belongs to someone else. So really, to keep this commandment is to help our neighbor improve and protect his possessions. Just a different frame of reference a little bit. I don't even think it's a different frame of reference. So when we are in our nativity fast, and we're trying to grow these disciplines, here's the thing that we should be fasting from. Or we should be growing the discipline to resist, honestly, greed. Right? Because it is a sin of greed that would cause us to steal or to be dishonest or fraud in business or withhold something that belongs to someone else. You know, we're also called to be generous, to share with the poor, and to guard against covetousness. So Christ comes as the one who makes himself poor. And we'll get into that on the next episode. That we might be rich in grace. Am I stretching this, trying to put too much stuff into thou shalt not steal?
I don't think so, because otherwise they appear to be not all-encompassing.
Legalistic. You can look at it very legalistically.
Okay, right, right. I think you
Which
have.
Is what the Jews did.
Right. So I think that we have to, well, I don't have to, but if we're really wanting to grow.
Correct. I like your finger.
I'm putting my finger on the Bible.
I thought you were trying to slide the page over.
No, I'm putting my finger on the word and connecting. In my mind, I'm connecting the dots.
What is the Latin phrase? Never mind. All right, I was going to go to rabbit hole. Never mind.
But going back to your thought of being greedy, at this time of year, it's very hard, because when you're doing a lot of shopping for other people, you see a lot of things that you think you would like for yourself.
Well, that's the beauty of shopping online, you know, that because I said for her, you know, and I don't normally see
but I'm things that I want. Shopping for...
I want for you.
Yeah, but you're only shopping for one. I'm shopping for lots of people. So,
yes, that's
so,
true.
So, you know, shoes pop up and it's like, oh, yeah, I really need a new pair of shoes.
Really?
But I've done better this
year. What kind of shoes do you need?
You're done.
You don't know what I've spent. I may not be done.
I can see the packages rolling in.
Oh, but I'm not buying expensive stuff this year. You know, like, I normally get you a nice.
The nicey nice.
Grinchy grinch, nice.
And the bank-a-bank.
Bank-a-bank,
I don't know why she used to have to, like, double up, but it's cute. And
it was.
And now she's reaching the preteen years.
And she's like soap opera, not soap opera. Yeah. What's the name of that store? Sopra?
Oh, Sephora.
Sephora. Okay, sorry.
So let me just give a quick tip. I know we're going to break away from scripture for just a minute. Let me just give a quick tip, and you can figure out why I'm giving this tip.
Okay. It's
why it popped into my mind while we're talking about preteen girls. Mm-hmm. If you ever need to get mascara off the wall, here's my household tip. You take just a drop of Dawn soap, mix it with some baking powder, and just a little bit of water. Make yourself a little paste with a toothbrush. Brush it on. Just do a little scrubby scrub and wipe it off. And you might have to do it a couple of times, but it will take mascara off of your beautifully clean walls.
So here's I got this right. Mascara is the stuff you put on your eyelashes, right?
Yes. Okay. It's black.
It's not the stuff you put on your cheeks. It's the stuff you put on your eyelashes.
No.
I mean, I was raised with 5 older sisters. I know.
Yeah.
I was just confirming because it's been a while.
Yeah.
And you don't wear makeup, which I love. Or you don't wear... it to be obvious.
I don't really wear anything other than just a little dab of mascara and a little touch.
So here's my question.
I don't wear it anymore.
How in the crap did she get that on the wall?
This is what I've come up with.
Okay.
Because Thanksgiving morning she was FaceTiming her friend.
Uh-huh.
And she had the phone propped up against the bathroom mirror. And there's that gap between the mirror and the backsplash.
Yeah.
Because she had me come in there and say hello and meet her friend on FaceTiming. Yeah. And I'm imagining that she had the mascara in her hand when she was putting the phone up there.
She did not realize. It wasn't her face.
I can't imagine that it was. And I think that she just... Yeah, because I have never gotten mascara on the wall in my 57 years of life. So that's what I've come up with. And so that's what I think she...
You're right.
...happened. Anyways.
And the 8th commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor or granddaughter.
I didn't.
Claiming my sweet
tea. It was a hypothesis.
Put mascara on your... How do you know I didn't do that?
Did you?
I didn't even know where mascara went.
Okay.
So, there's more than just... This is not about being Perry Mason.
Right.
This is not about just being in court. To bear false witness, although that absolutely do not. That's God not happy when you become a false testimony.
Proverbs talks about a lot.
Correct. It's like big time. Well, because people are judged by that, right? And especially the Jewish bring one or two.
Uh-huh.
And guess what? Next thing you know, you're a slave. You're imprisoned. You're killed.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of a big deal. For it forbids lies, forbids gossip and slander. false testimony. It all kind of really goes together.
Mm-hmm.
So we're called to defend our neighbor and speak well of him. And remember this phrase? Put the best construction on everything. You've never heard that phrase?
Never heard
it. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Put the best construction on everything. This is from a large catechism. This is not right. Dave McKee. This
well,
is
isn't it? Because it's not just on you, it's on them. When we lift, or I should say, it's not just on them, it's on you. When you go mm-hmm. around lifting people up, talking,
mm-hmm.
then people know what you're about or know who you are and what your values are. If you're always, like, and we've said this before, you know people who've never said a bad word about anybody.
Yes.
Right?
Leota.
And others.
Except.
Well.
You take a lot of baths.
Yeah. I was also 18 at the time, maybe 19. And I was not into context clues at the time, obviously.
But we've told that story.
Yeah. But anyways, it is. But we know people. I know people. You know people. We know the same people. Some of them. But you've never heard them speak ill of anyone.
Correct.
And on the contrary, we know people that
don't have much nice to say about anybody.
Right. And so it really speaks to the character of the people who don't say anything about anybody.
But you've never heard that phrase, put the best construction on everything. Okay, yeah, that's I hadn't heard that in a long time, but yeah, that's a... Just think of the way the world would be if we really kind of lived by this. Right? We don't. I mean, we violate commandments every day, every hour. And this is really one of them. So, but we could boil that even down even more so, right? Say, guess what, folks? Truth is not optional. That's all. Truth is not optional. It is foundational. And you know, I could even relate this to a marriage, right? In a marriage, how much love are you going to have between two significant others if there's not trust?
Right.
You know, that's a thing.
Right.
Trust is not optional. That's what I get out of this. So as we're fasting during the Nativity, let's think about this. Use those hunger pains to discipline our tongues and our hearts. To put the best construction on everything. You know, I don't want to be Django. Complain. And I'm good at that. I'm good at complaining. Criticize. Right? That's not what this is about. We are called to speak well, to defend our neighbor, and truly put the best construction on everything. You know, instead of speak truth, guard against gossip, build up rather than tear down, I guess really what I'm trying to say.
And then mm-hmm.
Christ comes as the Word made flesh, and the truth sets us free. That's it for the day, baby. You got any closing thoughts? Of course you do.
Okay.
Of course you do.
Here's my little saying, since you talked about the tongue. The state of your tongue is a very sure guide to your spiritual condition.
Say that one more time with meaning.
The state of your tongue is a very sure guide to your spiritual condition.
Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's close with a prayer. O Lord Jesus Christ, wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, you are the light shining in the darkness, the judge of all the earth, and the truth that sets us free. In this season of Advent, as we walk the path of the Nativity Fast, teach us to defend the weak, to cherish justice, to resist greed, and to speak truth. Guard our hearts from theft and dishonesty. Guard our tongues from lies and slander. Make us generous, faithful, and holy as we await your coming in glory. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. As we journey through Advent and the Nativity Fast, let's remember God is judge. He vindicates the weak and rescues the needy. Christ is light. He shines in the darkness and reigns as Prince of Peace. We are called to holiness, resisting theft, guarding truth, and living in fervent love. This is the discipline of Advent. This is the preparation of the Nativity Fast. And this is the way we prepare to welcome Christ in the manger. And Christ in glory. Thank you for joining us today on Crusade with Me. And until next time, may the Lord strengthen you in justice, truth, and holiness. And as always, Crusade with Me.